miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, is what you're listening to. That's the passionate show that teaches you how to take control of your health so you can live healthier, longer, and with less disability. Or looking at it another way, you get to live younger with the energy you had many years ago. One of the questions that we had, or one of the set of questions that we had, was why the analogy of baseball was not correct and the analogy of pizza worked better. So we were talking to our guest, Al Vernacchio, V-E-R-N-A-C-C-H-I-O. The book is For, F-O-R, Goodness, Sex, S-E-X, Changing the Way We Talk to Teens About Sexuality, Values, and Health. Very well-written book, I must admit. So you can see that he's an English teacher, but he writes in a very fun, enjoyable style. So, Al, why is pizza a better analogy? And that's what you were talking to us when we went to break.
Sure. Pizza, the fundamental way that pizza is a better analogy is that, think about when a baseball game ends. It ends when somebody wins or loses. There's a definite end point. But think about when you're finished eating pizza. You're finished when you feel satisfied. So you actually get to control when that is. If you overindulge, you don't feel so great. But if you regulate yourself and say, okay, I've had enough, if that were our model for sexual interactions, and if we didn't feel so pressured to sort of complete a checklist of activities, but we sort of said, yeah, I'm satisfied. This has given me what I was hungry for. That would be a much healthier way to approach our sexual interactions. And certainly in talking with the kids, as I do over the past 20 years, they have found that a really eye-opening and useful way to think about their sexual interactions.
At the end of every chapter, I should say there are a set of questions. How did you get the questions? I know the answer, but I want you to explain it, because it's such a good part of the book, are these questions at the end of every chapter. And then I'm going to ask you a couple and then go to the one that Evelyn Q in Syracuse asked.
Okay. The questions at the end of each chapter come from something called the question box, which is an old shoebox that I have in my classroom, and it's got a hole cut in the top of it. And students can just slip pieces of paper into the question box with questions that they either don't want to ask aloud during class time, or that they might feel a little embarrassed about, or just questions that they're wondering about. And so all of the questions at the end of the chapters in my book are directly from the question box in my classroom. And I answer them exactly the way I answer them in class, because I want to model for parents and other adults who work with kids ways to answer these questions and talk about them in a very relaxed and comfortable but also factual way.
And so one of them was a question from it's from a girl, but at the end of the first chapter it is it normal to just randomly get turned on throughout the day multiple times a day? P.S. I'm a girl, not a guy.
Yeah, that was such a great question. And, you know, of course, the answer is absolutely it's natural to be turned on during the day. We're made to be turned on. It's one of the best things about being human. It's especially when you're an adolescent, there's lots and lots of hormones coursing through your body. And of course, it's going to make you feel turned on and terrific. And the important thing to know is that that's really normal. And the other important thing to know is that you have some control over that. And just because we're turned on doesn't mean we have to do something about it. We get to make a choice about that. So it's about both normalizing, the answer is both about normalizing the feeling and also helping the young person think about the skill of making some choices around what they're feeling.
Now we get to the question from Evelyn Q. And Evelyn, I'm sorry that we had to wait this long, and there are a series of questions we won't get to. But Evelyn Q. wrote in advance when I tweeted that you were going to be on This is really embarrassing, but I'm obsessed with hooking up. I'm out on the town night after night. I'm miserable if I have to go home alone and miserable when I don't. How do I stop?
Really great question. And one of the things that I want to say up front is I'm always clear with my students and with people that I speak to that I'm not a therapist and I'm not a medical doctor. So as an educator, my job is to give information and help people practice skills. So Evelyn, it sounds to me like you're definitely hungry for something and that hooking up is not satisfying that. So I think the real question is, what are you really hungry for? Is it intimacy? Is it communication? Is it connection? Is it romance? There are so many ways for us to get those needs met. Hooking up and sexual activity is one of them and may not be the best one for a given hunger that we're experiencing. So in terms of how do we stop, we first of all, realizing that it is something you want to stop doing is important. Second of all, believing that you have the power to stop it if you want to is important. And thirdly, it's really asking, what is it that I really want? What is it that I'm really hungry for? And then looking for other ways that that hunger might be satisfied, because clearly this one is not doing it and not doing it successfully for you. So I would really encourage you to explore other ways to connect with people beyond sexual that actually might be much more beneficial and actually might give you what you're looking for.
And I think that answer, if you're listening to the show, that the sense of that answer, the clearness of that answer, the importance in getting that answer to Evelyn is exactly how this book is written. It's written in a common, no-nonsense, beautiful way, phrased what I would call almost perfectly, but also with a sense of humor and a sense of fun and joy to life that sex really is. And I think that's, if I take, and Al, maybe this is wrong, but if I take one thing out of this book, it's that we as humans are sexual beings, and talking about it, interacting about it, thinking about it, are all a normal part of life.
That is exactly what I hope people will get when they read the book, and that they'll realize that being sexual is a really good thing and a really joyful thing. And it helps us be the best people we can be.
We've been talking to Al Vernacchio, V-E-R-N-A-C-C-H-I-O, who's written a book put out by Harper called For Goodness Sex. It's really a tale of what he's learned in the 20 years as a sex educator and both 9th and 12th grades. It's a beautifully written book, very sensible, and has a ton of really great information in it. If you've got a teenager or know someone who does, this is a great gift. Thanks very much, Al, for being on the show. For Goodness Sex is the book. Do get it. If there's anyone in your family who might benefit from it, or even someone you know, it's a great Christmas gift too, I would think. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show.
Did you know the body's natural collagen production slows at a rate of 1.5% per year after age 25? Replenishing the body's collagen supply helps minimize fine lines and wrinkles and improves skin elasticity, builds and supports bone matrix, repairs connective tissues, improves circulation, and promotes wound healing. With the highest collagen dosage on the market, restore your youthful vitality with NeoCell, the number one collagen brand in the world and the leader in nutracosmetics. NeoCell.com.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.